Self-sufficiency is the goal at Schuylkill Community Action in Schuylkill County. Comprehensive approaches to housing, food, and education are strengthened even further by the desire to see people succeed. David Young is the CEO of the regional nonprofit and says the agency's roots run deep in the community.
Schuylkill Community Action is a community action agency. We've been around for 60 years. Really, the agency was sparked out of Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty legislation. The Community Service Block Grant is our key funding source. It's really critical to supporting our mission, which is really looking at all those available resources that can really empower low-income Schuylkill County residents to move towards self-sufficiency. We're really not about being a handout. We're more of a hand-up agency. We want to provide some support, but we also want to provide assistance to help that household move towards self-sufficiency, where they don't really need to rely on public assistance or other benefits.
That's a terrific start to the overall goal, Dave, but everybody comes into you with different circumstances. So how does your agency work to address these different needs?
We would do a comprehensive intake with that household. We have a great database that really tracks different domains, what we call self-sufficiency domains, and it really looks at employment, income, health insurance, substance abuse, mental health, subsistence levels. So it's looking at all these different things, but it really provides a template for us when we're completing that intake assessment. It identifies different potential barriers to that household looking to move towards self-sufficiency. A lot of times it starts with the call for a specific need. That's just the reality of the situation. Someone falls behind on an electric bill and needs some help. Well, that's our gateway into helping that household with more of their needs. So what we try to do is really assess that whole household to see where they're at and provide a game plan on how we can help them move forward. If their goal is simply a single service, they just need one-time support, that's fine. But we also try to connect with all available resources. So we're looking internally at what we can do in-house and also connecting with our community partners. That's one of the stronger things in Schuylkill County is the network of supportive social services and the willingness to work together, not work within silos, realizing it's almost community response to some of the problems.
You're absolutely right. You need that sense of networking in the event you're unable to provide a specific service that maybe someone else might be able to help you out with. That's good community.
Yes, I agree completely. One of the things that we've established in Schuylkill County in the past just over a year, we established a human service collaborative. It's called The Hive. It was done in partnership with a couple other organizations, Schuylkill United Way, the Tamaco Area Community Partnership, Schuylkill Connects, and ourselves are really the four that came together. But the response to that has been incredible. We've had 50 to 60 different organizations represented at these quarterly meetings, and we're just trying to provide solutions. It's been a really great venture to see everyone come together and try to figure out some of these solutions from not just a micro level, but at that macro level where we're looking at what is the actual solution? Do we need more affordable housing? What do we have to do to connect it? Who can provide support? So it's really taking a community-minded approach to solving problems.
You know, a lot of things, Dave, have changed since the Schuylkill Community Action Foundation began. There's a lot of food insecurity. There is that homelessness aspect of it. But you have some new programs in the pipeline that might be able to help a little bit.
We are the lead designee, something we take great pride in, PFAP, which is the Emergency Food Assistance Program. That's a federal program, and State Food Purchase Program. So we're getting these public resources through this county designation, and we're really trying to grow and enhance those services. We were recently able to purchase a 20-foot refrigerated box truck to help carry out some additional food distributions. Currently, we have 20 standing pantries. These are brick and mortar sites. We are looking to expand that to roughly 24, 25 pantries by early next year. The truck is really going to be beneficial. Geisinger Health Plan, they came in to support the purchase of it and really provided the final gap funding. And through those discussions, we're talking and there's great alignment with overall health needs and these anti-poverty ventures like providing food assistance. That connection is something we're leaning into now. People from lower incomes have traditionally worse health outcomes. So we're not just trying to provide a box of food anymore. We're really trying to utilize these mass food distributions as outreach opportunities to really connect people with potential resources, their overall well-being.
Well, that's fantastic. Does that mean that maybe you introduce them to foods and combinations of foods, just a different approach?
Absolutely. We have Penn State Schuylkill here. They have an extension program, and that person from that program will come out and get those pantry items and provide recipes for those households. She'll have samples of what those recipes look like. It's just something, it provides that extra step. Here's a way to really enhance that food. We're going to provide you a healthy recipe. We're going to let you even taste it beforehand. So that's part of it. And we're also looking to integrate like community health workers. One of the exciting things that was made available through our partnership with Geisinger was a connection to an outfit that provides community health worker certification training. They have an apprenticeship program. It is PAAHEC. But we have two staff members that are really being trained to become CHW certified and be able to go out into the field and provide support for households that need it.
They're the eyes on the ground that can give you a little more information.
Absolutely.
Crisis means many different things to many different people. And in your community, it could be lack of food, lack of housing. But you have a program in the works that acts as somewhat of an upswing for many residents in your county.
We have people that are homeless that are in desperate crisis, but we also help people purchase homes. That's the scale of the people we're kind of working with. One of the biggest avenues is our Bridge House Transitional Shelter Program. This program has been going on, I'd say, 25 years. It takes people literally homeless. They could be coming out of institutions, coming out of incarceration. They have a lot of barriers to housing stability. They come to our Bridge House program, and it is a very structured, very difficult program to complete. It's really helped at putting life skills back in and giving people the necessary support to transition into permanent housing. That program has a 70% successful graduation rate, and after that, they are connected immediately with permanent housing opportunities with the partnership we have with the Pottsville Housing Authority. So it's really rewarding some people that may not have been eligible for public housing assistance due to criminal history. They're considered rehabilitated when they go through this program, and then they're rewarded with the opportunity to move into a public housing unit to really transition and begin that permanent housing journey independently.
That is such hopeful news, the ultimate fresh start. Now, how about the elderly population in your community? Do you have programs to assist them?
Where we help seniors the most, I would say, is in our food assistance program, probably by quantity, but also in our housing repair programs. One is a senior disabled repair program, which is supported by the Schuylkill County Commissioners locally. But what that program can do is really provide a senior household or a household with a member that has a disability with an essential home repair. So if a senior has a failing roof, they've lived in this home, they just can't afford the roof repair now that they're on a fixed income, that's something they could get through the program. Also, accessibility modifications. If they need a tub conversion into a shower stall, that's something they can access through that. That program is what we would consider a moderate repair program, but we also have other repair programs that are a little bit more comprehensive, ones that are funded through HOME, CDBG. So those are the federal funding sources, and they can help with substantial renovations, which really is looking at lead mitigation, potential abatement if the amount of lead that's in the home needs it. It looks at radon mitigation, but it also looks at code issues and potential accessibility modifications to keep those seniors in their home.
This is so well thought out. I love the program where you said it was very grueling, and then the outcome is the reward of being able to move into a new home, working with the elderly. You're there for them as well. As you're seeing all of these accomplishments in your community and making life better for so many people, How does it feel for you to be a big part of their success stories?
Well, I think it makes me feel great. I'm someone that started on the front lines with the agency. I've been here for 15 and a half years now. I started as a case manager with the organization, so I got to see firsthand how meaningful our service could be. If it's helping someone connect their power in their home and just seeing the relief they have that they can now keep their food from going bad, things like that. It's just an intrinsic good feeling. I also think it's the right thing to do. I take great joy in seeing people live a quality of life that everyone deserves.
Dave, that's beautiful. And you were talking about power in the refrigerator and powering up their homes, but you're empowering individuals by providing these programs.
A lot of people that we serve have come from families that have just historically experienced poverty from time to time. And a lot of it is due to the lack of opportunities. So what are those opportunities that we can connect people with that really can enhance their lives? If it's a program or a service, maybe it's as simple as that. But sometimes it is just being that supportive service, being that ear to listen for someone that's really going through it, that doesn't have a huge network that they can lean on, we can provide that for them. A lot of times with households that we've worked with, the connection that we are able to establish by just treating people with dignity and respect. It's a simple course, the golden rule, treat others like you want to be treated. And when we're working with someone, they're not coming to see us typically at the height of their life. They're usually seeing us when they're down in the dumps. There's something that has gone wrong. So showing compassion and helping that person and connecting them with an opportunity and encouraging them to take full advantage of it. It does get frustrating when you see people have an opportunity, provide that assistance, and they don't fully take advantage, but you still encourage and work through that, and hopefully that guidance sticks with that household as you move forward.
When someone does receive the help, when they do get that house, or when they are able to get back on their feet and able to earn a living wage, do they ever come back as a volunteer? How is it that they come back and say thanks?
A lot of times we do get clients that want to give back just because they've received a support service from us. It's really noticeable in our food pantry. We have roughly 500 volunteers. Many of them started as clients themselves at some point, and they're just looking to give back and acknowledge that they didn't just want to receive that help. They wanted to contribute in some capacity. We also have clients that have donated funds when they were on the other side of their journey, where they've gotten out of it and they're in a position where now they can actually afford to give back to something financially. So we have clients that become donors and volunteers, and it's really rewarding to see those that come back and say thank you. One of my greatest things, though, is when we get a card from someone, and it always somehow finds it to my desk, and I get to open it first, and it's like, oh my God, this beautiful card about the weatherization service that was provided to them, and just the appreciation that households show when they are getting this service, what it really means to them.
It makes you realize that you're in it for the right reasons.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have like little seminars or get-togethers with those who have gone through the programs that you offer, with maybe a new group that are just starting that need that little bit of a boost?
It's something that we're looking for specifically in the programs where we work for someone for a long period of time, like our Bridge House program. There's people that graduate from that program. Well, one of the things we're considering at this point is having a graduation ceremony so they can come back and speak to the current clients of those units. It has not come to fruition yet. I'm hoping something within the next 6 to 12 months. We do a lot with the little resources that we receive, so it's on our to-do list. What I would say is we've had clients that have been recognized at the state level for self-sufficiency, where they have made such substantial progress that they've gone through and been recognized by our state association, which is the Community Action Association of Pennsylvania. They hold an annual award ceremony that recognizes those people that have made it through self-sufficiency through the programs that are overall larger network has. We're one of 1,000 community action agencies across the country. There's 42, I believe, right now in Pennsylvania, but they cover the 67 counties in the state.
Now, since there are multiple community action networks, do they all have different disciplines?
I will say a saying that was told to me a long time ago, even though there's 1,000-plus community action agencies, if you've seen one community action agency, you've seen one community action agency. And that's by design. The whole goal was to provide a local response to poverty. Because we know things that here in Schuylkill are different than things in Berks County or different than what's going on in Luzerne County. It requires a local response. It requires an understanding of local resources. I think what each of our community action agencies are required to do are to do community needs assessments every 3 years and to really evaluate what those specific community needs are. And it really provides us a game plan on where we need to go as an agency. Are there things that we need to add service-wise? Are there things that are no longer needed? So it gives us an opportunity to really evaluate localized poverty, and there's over 1,000 different organizations doing that same approach and providing that local response to that anti-poverty mission.
Have you had to make specific modifications for newer generations, different types of needs?
Some of the things really stayed the same. We got into housing rehab back in the 1980s. That's something that we continue to do today. Because of the age of our housing stock, there hasn't been a lot of new development. We have blighted vacant properties just because population went down after the coal boom. It wasn't a service we always had. So I think that's one example. Financial literacy is something that we've added, that those skills are what are required. And that was directly driven from our community needs assessment. Through that, financial literacy was something that wasn't being emphasized in the community. So we dedicated resources to introducing that, and that's been very successful for us.
I know that so many communities have been welcoming different populations over the last few years. Have you made accommodations for them with regard to language barriers and so forth?
That's been something that we were very cognizant of. We have currently two wonderful staff persons, twin sisters. They serve two very different roles. One is a HUD-certified housing counselor. The other is the case manager that is also going through our community health worker certification apprenticeship process right now. And they have really bridged that gap to those households where English isn't their first language. It's really allowed us to connect with households that need resources. We're seeing a sharp increase, and it's been responsive. People feel comfortable connecting with people that can relate culturally, speak the dialect. So it's been essential for us, I would say, and we want to continue to evolve. We want to be able to serve everyone that we can with our services.
Of all of the services you provide, which one is the most utilized?
It's one of the two programs. One is an electric utility assistance program that we administer in partnership with PPL. It's called the OnTrack program. It lowers the bill to what that household can afford. The bill is based on their income, and it allows them, if they've fallen behind on that electric bill, they're able to get arrearage forgiveness for making those reduced monthly payments. It provides accountability for the household. So if they've fallen behind for whatever reason, they're able to get on this program that's going to lower their payment, but because they're making that payment, it's going to wipe away their back due debt. I would say that's probably our largest program by scope. I would also say our Schuylkill Food Network is access. We've seen our highest levels of pantry users. 24,000 points of service were conducted in 2024. That shattered what our previous high amounts were, 24,000 plus points of service through our food pantry network.
Every nonprofit organization is going through their struggles. Knowing that all nonprofits have that exact same situation, what makes your nonprofit stand out?
We stand on our outcomes. Because we receive those community service block grant, it's a federal block grant, we have 58 organizational standards that we have to adhere to. So we have clear-cut expectations on what's expected of us just because we're one of those funded agencies. But we also have to report on our outcomes. I think if you look at our agency and lots of community action agencies, they're able to do a lot with the resources that are provided to them. We're nimble, we're mobile, we shift to what we need, shift to what the community needs, and we're able to consistently deliver outcomes. And we have to, or we're not going to be funded. We're going to be questioned, like, what did you do with this money? We do things with a cost-sensitive in mind. We're not doing things flash and dash. I wish we could. It would make our job easier sometimes. We're able to put money toward marketing, put money towards different administrative functions where we could hire people to go after different grant foundations and after different funding streams. So what we do with the resources we have is really what sets us apart, and it's looking at our outcomes, being able to look at our representatives and say, this is what we did with your public dollars, and we're darn proud of it.
As you should be. This sounds like such a well-oiled machine, but if you had your wish to maybe expand or add something new, something different to an already loaded block of great programming, what would it be?
I think that it would be along affordable housing development. It's something that we have done as an organization, but have not done since 2018. We have 21 rent-restricted apartments but that were developed on blighted properties. I want to get back into that, and it doesn't have to be rentals exclusively. I want to help improve the housing stock. We're doing it through preservation, but we're looking at new development or increasing the resources that we can dedicate to it. In 2018, we had a housing director that was here for a number of years, and our executive director at that time made the decision, like, hey, we're just not going to do rehab. So when I came in 2020, one of my initial goals would have been establishing housing rehab. However, the pandemic happened, and it was a lot of emergency response dollars. We received an incredible amount of money for rental assistance programs that really challenged our capacity. With those additional funds, we did not want to just hire people and then after those funds were exhausted, lay them off. We really did it cognitively to do those programs with the smallest team possible so that when those resources left, we'd be able to retain all staff that were a part of those programs. For the most part, we didn't lay anyone off after those programs were completed.
Thank goodness. I mean, that was very strategic planning. And of course, COVID really did take the starch out of everybody. And it's very difficult if somebody needs help and they had to be sheltered in place. That could be very complex. How did you do it?
I think it was a time where the community came together. Though I think our donations at that time were never higher. We received a lot of food donations, and there was a lot of realization that some people were going to be struggling and they would need some temporary support. And that's what we saw, a lot of generosity and coming together.
If you were to encapsulate the mood of your entire community in one word, what word would you choose?
That's a fantastic question. What word? Resilient?
Why did you choose resilience?
I think it's who we are. It's kind of been our nature being from the coal region. We have a lot of blue-collar workers that were here and had to go through a time when an industry was canceled. And those that were able to stay, they've been able to adapt. And no matter what challenge comes in, our community seems to come together and allow us to bounce back. I never knew what community action was before I took a job with the agency in 2010. And it was really that opportunity to help someone and really be a part of individual growth and now really focusing on that community growth.
A refreshing and optimistic talk with Dave Young, CEO of Schuylkill Community Action in Schuylkill County, offering programs, services, and pathways to success. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.